Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend, but it's time to get serious about what's going on with the week. So grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening. There's a bit to talk about this morning. So I'm going to mostly because we have a week with quite a bit of energy that's happening. So I'm going to chunk things down this week. Today, we're going to primarily focus on Mercury retrograde and in particular, Mars in Capricorn. That's the plan for today. And then tomorrow, we'll take a look ahead at what the Sun in Pisces might mean for us as we have that change going on this week. And then there is another transit happening, Jupiter in sextile to Neptune, that is very similar yet different from the sextile last year of Saturn to Neptune. So we were building a foundation for our spirituality. We were embodying our spirit, really embodying our divinity as we were moving through 2019. Now this year, with Jupiter in that sextile to Neptune, we're expanding that. We're creating more faith in ourselves. So I want to talk about how that's going to play out for us over the next few months. And then later in the week, we will take a look at the new moon, which is another one of those things that is happening this week, right? We have the new moon on Sunday. We have Mars in a trine to Uranus on Friday. We have Jupiter in the sextile to Neptune on Thursday. Wednesday is cool. Tuesday, tomorrow, we have the Sun moving into Pisces. So it is a busy week. Not a bad week, though. I think really we have some key opportunities to align ourselves with what comes next. We just have to beware that, of course, we have Mercury in retrograde, turning retrograde yesterday morning at 3:33 a.m. if you were on the Pacific coast. And now we have to take things in a more slow manner. We want to make sure that we have all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted before we move forward. And that is something I experienced personally yesterday. I'm going to share that here in just a minute because I thought it was pretty funny the way that that worked out. So let me take a look real quickly here at who's checking in with us this morning. And that means I've been switching over to Facebook and I forgot to open that window. So it'll take me one moment here. Anyway, let's see. I've got Angela. Good morning, Angela. I don't see anybody else there yet, but then again, I'm behind. My system is lagging with what I'm actually doing. So you're seeing me in a little bit of a lag. So I can't keep watching that. I got to go back to where I was. So this morning, the moon, this week, the moon begins our transits with being in Sagittarius, the sign that I usually think of as expansive and very much seeking information and seeking to build upon an information superhighway, if you will. So today's moon in Sagittarius will come into a square with Neptune. And when that happens, we get a bit of that bump with our beliefs, right? We want to really identify with our beliefs, and we might have to watch out for being a little bit more self-righteous or being more defensive about our beliefs or what our truths are, particularly spiritual truths, as we may want to hold on to those for dear life, not letting go and not embracing that there are many ways to God. So this is an interesting day, an interesting transit, I think, for us to start the week with. This is your opportunity to be open-minded. That's what the moon in Sagittarius really is all about, that open mind, seeking with tendrils out to the world to see new relationships and new information. And how does that information apply to what I already know? And how does that expand things as opposed to constricting or contracting things? So we have a moon in a very expansive sign asking us to be open-minded, to think with our hearts and not with our heads specifically while we're gathering that information. Now, the moon in Sagittarius is also about our free-spirited nature. So Sagittarius as a sign, if you have the sun in Sagittarius, you're very aware of how this works for you because you're very exploring and adventurous. You get bored easily because you want to have some expansion going on in what it is that you're doing. So anytime that the moon is moving through Sagittarius, we want to be out in nature. We want to be discoverers, if you will. We want to travel and move and be active in all things. So the moon in Sagittarius, then if you're feeling restless or you're feeling bored, it's because the moon in Sagittarius isn't being fulfilled for you. So you'll have to do something to expand outward or to, in some way, bring in some new information or to go exploring or adventuring in some way. Here in the States today, I believe schools are out for the President's holiday, President's Day. And so maybe it's a great day if you've got kids, take them out to the local park or museum or something that kids like to do, children's museum, and explore that way. It'll be a great day for that kind of thing. Sagittarius is also knowledge seeking. It is across the axis of Gemini and Sagittarius where information is exchanged, where we learn and where we grow in knowledge. So when when we look at the two signs, Gemini would represent the width of information that's out there and dabbling, getting a little bit about a lot of things, while Sagittarius likes to take things to the depth. And so when it is invited in to study something, it wants to go to the depths. It wants to keep uncovering what's the next nugget, what's the next truth, what's the next information piece that I can add to my repertoire. So knowledge seeking is a part of this experience we're having today. On the Sagittarius end of this educational axis is higher education. So we might be seeking education beyond that elementary level. So, when we're thinking about elementary, we're thinking about the reading, writing, arithmetic, the basics of knowledge. But this takes us into that extra knowledge, that music, that art, that history. That I remember when I was a kid, I was, what do they call that? I was in an accelerated program for whatever that meant. And during the summer, that meant I was invited to go to special classes that were, for 1 year it was in drama, one and oceanography, and another year it was biology and astronomy. So I had these opportunities during these times to explore further into subjects that in school I wasn't really getting to talk about. Yeah, I knew what oceanography was, but we didn't actually have a class in oceanography. So this is a great time then to explore these topics that aren't of the normal kind. Like, pick a subject. What are you interested in? I'm going to find out today because this is something that piqued my interest this morning. Is I'm preparing to put the goddess webinar together, and my first stop on that trip is to do the research, the background. And I was working with Venus because she's the first one that I want to talk about. And I realized that in the Mayan culture, Venus was their almighty planet, but it wasn't feminine, it was masculine. And I find that to be interesting. So today I want to take that deeper, right? I'm going to explore that deeper. Why would that culture? Which I almost think I know the answer, but why would that culture believe that this was a masculine energy and not a feminine energy? And who in their pantheon of gods and goddesses played the role of the feminine Venus? And if that's the case in the Mayan culture, why did other cultures come along and decide that Venus was feminine? So there's some really interesting things there that I could go looking for. So it's a great day for that kind of, I wonder what this means, and then going and getting that information, finding it deeper, looking more for the spiritual connections as well today. Maybe it's a spiritual energy that you want to take a look at. Maybe it's about healing. That's another one that the Pleiadian earth energies are at today, is the Jaguar, which is healing energy, Ish. And so spiritual wisdom, higher education, studying subjects that you wouldn't normally get to. And then moving through that information, great thing for you to open yourself up to on a day like today. And of course, Sagittarius energy is always open to life. They are the ones that have faith and optimism. Their ruling planet, Jupiter, kind of pushes them in a direction of expansion as opposed to contraction. And as they move forward, they're looking with more optimistic eyes at the future of what comes next. They readily see the bigger picture and not just the little picture. They're quick to help. This is spontaneous energy today. So although in some cases, I would say be careful of spontaneity on a day like today, don't make major life decisions, perhaps in a spontaneous way, but a spontaneous let's go to the park or let's go to the museum would be a good thing. Now, what to watch out for while the moon is transiting through Sagittarius? First of all, Sagittarius very much sees the big picture, means they miss the nuances. They miss the details. The devil might be in the details, but they're seeing the bigger picture. They miss the details. So they have to be willing to look big and to also see down to the minute details of something. They're also known, Sagittarius energy is also known for blunt talk, bluntness, saying things in a very powerful way, but often without the filter of niceties or compassion. They just want to get to that truth and they just want to say what needs to be said without sugarcoating things. So we want to be careful for that, as that can hurt other people's feelings. And if you haven't been invited to share your opinions or your ideas with someone, then you need to keep it nice, right? Keep it quiet. Also, they tend to skip important steps. So today is not a day to skip important steps. Mercury's in retrograde now. So we have to beware at all times not to skip those important steps. Okay, switching back here. Let's take a look here. Good morning, Jacqueline. Funny, I've been reading up on the gene keys. Perfect. That's perfect. Jacqueline says, yes, the kids are home. Indeed. Lynn, good morning. She says, wanted to jump in and say hello, but may not be able to stay. Love what you just said. There are many ways to God. Be open-minded. Right. I said it that way in particular, Lynn, because so many times Sagittarius is often the sign indicated in fundamentalism, you know, where people take their religious beliefs to the nth degree and they close down their mind to anything else other than what they see in front of them or what their beliefs are. So this is an open invitation on a day like today to expand that outward. It's okay to believe in what you believe. No one's taking that away from you, but expand that to embrace the bigger picture, right? That's the lesson here. And I have a funny, this is a funny aside. This was yesterday. My husband and my daughter and I decided we were going to go to Bellingham and donate plasma. Plasma is the watery part of your blood, and they use it to help people who have a whole host of autoimmune diseases and other diseases where they can take the plasma and help that person heal, and or at least to, you know, keep their symptoms eliminated or down to a dull roar. And I was very meticulous because I knew Mercury's in retrograde in Pisces, a water sign. There's your hint. So I took care. I made sure I had all the paperwork I needed, except I, out of the three of us, was the only one that needed one additional piece of information that I didn't know I needed and thus didn't have with me and was unable to give a donation. So I sat there for a few hours yesterday. From our appointments were at 1:30. We didn't leave there until 4:30 or 4:45. I was the one that had to sit there waiting while the other two were able to go through the whole process. I only went through half the process and I went, this is Mercury retrograde in Pisces because I was looking at donating the watery part of my blood to someone and I couldn't do it because I didn't have a lab test result that they needed in order to allow me to donate. So now I have to come back on another day. And then a little bit later, I realized as I was sitting in the car, I could have just logged on to my medical doctor's site and gotten those lab results. But by then it was too late. And I just went, okay, well, I'm not going to fight this. You know, sometimes there's just a reason, right? There's a reason maybe I couldn't see it. So Mercury retrograde, right? No matter how much I was taking care of getting what I needed for me and for everybody else. I didn't have what I needed to be able to do that. So a lesson of Mercury in retrograde in Pisces. Okay, so the biggest news probably yesterday, besides Mercury going retrograde, was Mars moving into Capricorn. And I've been telling you that this was coming, right? From February 16th all the way through March 30th, Mars will be in the space where Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, and Pallas Athena and Chariclo and the South Node and all of that rebuilding energy has been. Now we have Mars, which is a planet that we often think of as the catalyst to growth or to this is the god of war, right? That Mars energy is very assertive energy, catalyzing energy. And so we've been looking at, in fact, when I was doing people's chart readings for the astrology of 2020, what I was looking at was February 17th through March 30th, while Mars was going to be in Capricorn. And that is because moving through Capricorn, not only is he conjuncting the planets that are already there, but by squaring the opposite sign of, by squaring, there was Libra and Aries were also being affected. And in Aries, we have Eris, and we have Eris, we have who else? Oh, Chiron. And we also have Venus now in Aries. And then Libra squaring it, nothing in Libra at the moment, but the North Node opposing the planet Mars in Capricorn from Cancer. So we have a lot of lighting up suddenly in your chart. Those four houses, or it may actually spread across a couple of different houses in your chart that are being triggered simultaneously here. And for the next few weeks, there are some hot button issues that may be coming up for you. So I thought it was worthy for us to take a look at what Mars in Capricorn is all about. And then I'm going to give you some key dates. And while I usually say get your pen and paper and your chart and start writing these down, I think I'm also going to do an article on this and post it up for you because there's a lot of dates to watch out for over the next few weeks. So I will go through those, but and you're free to write them down, but I will put this up as well. So Mars in Capricorn, Mars being the planet of action and forward momentum, assertion. It is the pushing you out into the world kind of planet. It is extraordinarily masculine energy, yang energy, which is reaching outward, right? Where the yin energy is more receptive and inward facing. This is more extroverted or outward facing energy. So Mars in Capricorn then is very deliberate and persistent and enduring in staying the course of whatever objective he has. So the typical Mars way of act first, think later energy is being tempered now by the I'm going to take a look at the deeper meaning of what I'm doing, right? I'm going to take stock of the consequences that may ensue if I take this action. So I'm actually going to think first or consider first before I take action. So I'm slowing things down a bit, but in no way is my action being thwarted in like in some signs, like when Mars moves through Cancer, he's often feeling thwarted in his endeavor to move forward. We are often feeling like we can't seem to get traction, right? You know, it's like in a dream when you're running and you just can't move, or when you're in a pool or in an ocean and you're trying to run in the water, how difficult it is because the water has that tension, it slows things down. But in Capricorn, Mars doesn't have that, right? He has the ability to move forward with deliberate persistence. So he feels a whole lot better in Capricorn. In fact, in Capricorn, we say Mars is exalted. It means it is that he's functioning at his highest and his best in Capricorn. Notice that it's not Aries and it's not Leo and Sagittarius. As a fire planet, you would think he would be at his best in one of those fire signs, or even in Scorpio, where he's a co-ruler. Nope, he functions best here in the sign of Capricorn. Now, that's because he's very grounded and takes a very steady approach to what he is initiating and what he is taking action on. It's almost like, well, you know, I've been telling everybody, and I've been operating on this in my own life as well, have a plan, execute the plan, work the plan, right? One step at a time, one foot forward, and then the next foot, and then the next foot forward, and so on, right? We're being more deliberate And that's what we've been asked to do. If you want to get to that, you know, end point, you've got to take the steps to get there. It's a very generator type energy, but we have manifesting generators that like to leap around. We have Sagittarians that like to skip steps. So this, for some of those signs, may, you know, types may be a little more difficult, but for those of you who are generators, this is going to be energy that you love, because it is execute plan A and then step one, then step two, then step three, then go to plan B, and then one, two, and three. It's almost like having a an outline and following the outline, right? So that is the energy right now that we are going to have at our fingertips, right? That we can execute, take steps, and take action in a very deliberate way. And this Mars in Capricorn helps us to stay focused on what is important in the path that we're traveling, right? So remember that the whole key for these planets that have been in Capricorn, Saturn, Pluto, the South Node, now Jupiter and Pallas Athena, Chariclo, Ceres had been there, is about the destruction. Let me rephrase this. This is about the exposure of our weaknesses, the weak points in a plan, in a building, in a foundation, and then the subsequent destruction that's required in order to reconstruct, to rebuild, right? You can't just if and remember we used this as a template. If you were going to remodel your kitchen, you couldn't just start rebuilding the kitchen without first tearing it out. Right? What parts weren't going to be useful anymore? Maybe you're taking out the cupboards. Maybe you have to take out the flooring. Maybe you're taking out the appliances. If you're going to do the flooring, you have to take out the appliances. You know, the steps that you have to take to do something, to build something, first come with a bit of a deconstruction in order for reconstruction to happen. So Mars being the final planet entering this phase of Capricorn, where we are in reconstruction mode now, what are we building toward? Right? Mars now keeps us focused on what's being rebuilt, what's being restructured in our lives. And that would be based on the house that Capricorn is in. And how does that square with your natal Mars? So there's some moving pieces here that are helping us to rebuild. Now, of course, we also have Mercury in retrograde the very same day that Mars moved into Capricorn. So Mercury in retrograde is going to slow us down for the interim here. So at least until March 9th, so Mercury is retrograde from yesterday until March 9th. And Capricorn, or Mars and Capricorn, from February 16th until March 30th. So really, right now, because Mercury is in retrograde, it is about the listening to our intuition, reimagining the steps, restructuring maybe in the behind the scenes. Like, what do I have to do behind the scenes before I can actually move forward with something? So reimagining your life, reimagining how you will creatively engage when the time is right. So before initiating new action or taking new steps, it's getting everything prepared that you can in order to do that next step. So while Mercury is in retrograde, it may not be the best time for you to just go all Mars action and initiation and let's just go. You might have to do some more pre-work, if you will, before you get there, right? Before we do that. So using your imagination, following your intuition, doing everything possible creatively without taking too many steps forward, right? So keeping that in mind. So we have an invitation from the universe right now to do a deep dive and to get to slow things down so that we can be more deliberate, more stepwise in the way that we approach the things that we're going to do, whatever that is, a project. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and I was just telling her about how I'd really gotten some clarity around what it is I wanted to do for my business and what I was going to focus my energy on. And it was different than what I would have imagined this time last year, even though the signs were pointing me in that direction. Yet I'm still having to do some things in the background to be able to build toward that. So it's not that I just, in fact, I don't know that I've even had a discussion with any of you out there about what my next steps are. You'll just start to notice things are a little different. And that's because we don't just take that energy and throw it out there. When you have a sign like Capricorn, it's much more deliberate, right? There's many more steps that you have to take. It's not experimental energy so much as it is experiential energy. So we're taking one step at a time. All right, I'm going to go back to Facebook real quickly, see how people are doing. Good morning, Colleen and Lynn. Have a great day to you too. And then Jennifer or Jacqueline says, this is so awesome of what you all did. I'm thankful because I have three preemie babies alive for amazing people like you all. Wow, nice. I'm not sure what that all means, but I like that idea. Oh, preemie babies because of plasma. Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, got you. That, yeah, see, there was a very, I didn't realize at first that you actually get paid to do that too. That, I mean, that was just like icing on the cake. But it was funny because I was the only one that didn't get to participate. And I was just shaking my head going, okay. And I could have gotten pissed. I could have gotten mad because they didn't put it on their website, what you needed, you know, this extra piece you needed. And she apologized, the nurse apologized to me. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's out of your hands. It's out of my hands. It just is, right? I could have gone a different way and been really irritated. Yeah, instead, I just went with the flow. That's pretty much what you got to do when Mercury's in retrograde. Just go with the flow. Okay. Now, no questions. Good. Okay. So I'm going to go on back to Zoom here because now I want to talk about the dates for all of you to be aware of. There are quite a number of them. So I'm going to kind of group them together where I can. Of course, the first date was yesterday, Mars moving into Capricorn. So you got that one. Check. The next day on our list is going to be February 21st. This is just in the shadow of the new moon on Friday, where Mars and Capricorn will come into a trine with the planet Uranus in Taurus. Now, a trine is a 120 degree angle or relationship between Mars and Uranus in this case. It represents the ease and flow of information between those two planets. They are in similar elements. In fact, they're in the same element. Mars in Capricorn is in the element of Earth, and Taurus is another Earth sign. So Uranus and Taurus and Capricorn Mars are all, you know, working together in very similar ways. So they're sharing in a very positive way. So that's a really good day. You could circle that, put a star. That should be a green day on your calendars. Although if I look here, is it? It's just black. Maybe because that's my personal day. It's no biggie deal. But in your chart, it might be green. And maybe it's red too. It just depends. Don't get upset if it is red and not green. But in my mind, February 21st, Friday, is a great run-up to the new moon where we are able to really be awakened and energized and intuitively connect to maybe the step that we might have missed. Maybe to what is the next step or where we should slow down, where we should speed up. Who knows, but it should be a really good day. And added to that, February 23rd, the new moon in Pisces, sextiling Mars and Capricorn. Sextile, 60 degree angle, also beneficial. And that represents the gifts and the talents that each have being complementary. So Mars's gift in Capricorn of being persistent and enduring and being deliberate meets up with the new moon in Pisces that has creative energy that wants to move forward, that wants to be expressed. So we have good days to be visionary, good days to be using your imagination to gather information about what it is that you want to express. The next day after that, February 24th, the sun in Pisces. Remember the sun, we'll talk about that later this week, tomorrow actually, because it'll be Wednesday when the sun moves into Pisces. It will come into a sextile, again, beneficial with Mars and Capricorn. So those 3 days, the 21st, 23rd, 24th, really great days for gathering all of the pieces, getting all the parts together to be able to begin the building process a little bit later on in the month. Now, those three really good days are followed by a few scritchy days as we end up with the moon moving through Capricorn and triggering then the planets, the moon in Aries, or excuse me, the first one will be the moon in Aries Today, the moon is in Sagittarius, so we've just got a few more days here. Next week, it'll be the 26th, next Wednesday. The moon in Aries then squaring Mars in Capricorn. So we may have some issues popping up where we want to jump out of that gate, right? Where we want to push ourselves forward. It may not be the best day to do that. Be more deliberate again and avoid the inner conflict that might see you pushing out of that gate too soon. And then we also on March 4th have the moon in Cancer. Cancer is the sign in opposition to Capricorn. It will oppose Mars in Capricorn. That is going to be a day where we have the issues. Remember, Mars is exalted in Capricorn, and the moon is exalted in or is in rulership of Cancer. So we have two planets here that are going to be empowered, but they're moving in opposite directions. So that can be a day where we have to slow things down, maybe spend some time in meditation, cooling our heels a little bit, getting some clarity. Those days will be great for clarity, getting clarity. And then on March 11th, we have the moon in Libra, again, squaring Mars in Capricorn. So those three, I orange highlighted those days because they're going to be days that are going to be a little more difficult, but not terrible difficult, right? These aren't long-term. The moon moves quickly. So you may have a moment in your day where things are going really well, and then all of a sudden it blows up and you're like, what the heck, right? So be careful on those days. Just know that there may be those ups and downs because the moon is moving quickly. Those ups and downs can come on rather unexpectedly quickly and then pass. Let's see, March 13th, the moon in Scorpio will sextile Mars in Capricorn. This should be a really good day, I think, even though I'm not particularly fond of the sign of Scorpio. It just feels unnatural to me as a Gemini. But the moon in Scorpio is very intuitive, almost psychic in its perceptions, and in a sextile to Mars, and Mars, remember, is a co-ruler of the sign of Scorpio. We may just know instinctively and intuitively what way to go, what to do next, how to present what we're doing, how to work with that relationship, how to work with our passion. We may stumble upon our passion. It could be a really interesting day, March 13th. The 14th and the 20th let's talk about the 14th first. That's where the Mars will come into a sextile with Neptune and Pisces. And that's happening sort of congruently with Jupiter's sextile to Neptune, where we have the spiritual dimension that is playing out. And remember last year we were building upon that. This year we're expanding upon that. So we're expanding that Jupiter sextile Neptune, and now Mars in Capricorn sextile Neptune in Pisces. So we're building more upon that spiritual foundation, being very intuitive, listening. Remember last week, was it the third, where we had the energy of 13 in our human design? The sun was at 13 and it was about listening, the challenge of listening to our inner dynamic, changing ourselves from the inside out. So we get to build more upon that with Mars that day. This is where steady growth based on a goal is happening. So here's where we begin, and we're post Mercury retrograde now. We're in that the retro shade, the shadow part of that Mercury retrograde. So we may still be a little tentative in our expression of movement forward, but the distinction is we can move forward, right? We can see where we can take action on that steady visioning of our goal, the actual manifesting of our goals. Triple star, the 20th and the 22nd of March. Those will be the days that Mars in Capricorn conjuncts Jupiter. And then the 22nd will be the day where Mars in Capricorn conjuncts Pluto, and the day after the planet Mars conjuncts Saturn. So we have blip, 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 the three big planets that are in the sign of Capricorn that are really the ones that are changing us collectively, rearranging our social paradigms, our collective experience of governments and institutions and all of the big things that we've come to count on in our world that are being sort of destroyed or rearranged in some way. So now we have Mars that comes along. The outer world may look a lot wonky those few days, right? The last week or so of of Mars's transit through Capricorn could be very difficult in that you know, the unconsciousness in the outer world could be what we see most blatantly as opposed to the consciousness, right? So it'll be that struggle between expressing action steps that are built on a new consciousness versus holding on to the old patterns of the past that keep us in that unconsciousness. So those days should be interesting. And then followed immediately by the moon in Libra, again, squaring Mars in Capricorn. And then finally on March 30th, Mars will leave Capricorn very much around the same time that Saturn leaves Capricorn for Aquarius. So we have a new energy alighting in our lives. We have a new opportunity for social awareness, social change, to embrace a brotherhood, a sisterhood, all of humanity and equality, new concepts coming up, right? That should be an interesting transition for both Mars and Saturn coming into a conjunction in Aquarius right after meeting up in the last degree or so of Capricorn. Fun stuff, people. So I will post those dates because I don't have any way of making sure you remember those dates, but I bet you can feel inside of you this energy building up. Good morning, Kathy Miller. And no other comments. This is so annoying to me. I cannot see your comments. And I'm sure people are wondering what the heck, right? What's going on and all of that. So questions, please go ahead and put them in there and I'll be happy to answer them. Lastly, today, I want to talk about where we are in the Pleiadian Earth energy. Today, we enter into the energy of five. Five is giving us the opportunity to change, to morph, to advance, to adapt, to be flexible, to be willing to move, right? To adjust our path or our intentions. To the highlighted word here is choice, right? Choice is experienced during a day like today. And remembering that you are never a victim of happenstance or circumstance, you always have a choice, even if the choice is only how it is that you're going to react to whatever, or how are you going to respond to what is showing up. You know, on Sunday, I could have responded or reacted with negative energy, but I just let it go, right? I chose a different path. So today highlights for us, what do we want to choose to do? And this is an energy that wants change and expansion through movement. It isn't a standstill kind of day. We do have Mercury in retrograde, so our action forward is a little bit more limited, or you could choose to see it as more deliberate. But today emphasizes the energy of healing, right? That's the earth energy of the day, healing. So the change or the opportunity to change, the invitation to change comes and is directed at our healing. So becoming more whole as we trust the universe more, as we really, this is that magician energy. This is the day of the magician, where you almost feel like that magician energy is there. The priestess energy, the energy of the shape shifter, where we can choose to shape our reality in a different way. Where we can choose to shift our frequencies from the lower expression and to the higher expression. So today altogether is a day to be flexible, to be adaptable, to align yourself with cosmic flow, right? You're against cosmic flow when you're feeling sort of like, use your feelings, use your emotions. When you're feeling caught up in the emotion of a situation or not being able to get done what you want to get done, and you start to feel that anger, that conflict arising, you're not in the flow of the cosmic energy when that happens. That's what your emotions are telling you. You've gotten out of that flow. To return to that flow, you might just need to relax. Step back, do nothing, do something different. So cosmic flow is when we are aligned with cosmic flow, we are adaptable, we're flexible, and we are able to just be versatile and we just move ahead with the energy, whatever it brings to us. as opposed to the typical way, which is I demand I get my way and you, you know, do what I want you to do. And then, or, you know, we go inward and we just feel like angry, the universe is pooping on me again. Instead, go with the flow. So going with the flow, becoming whole as we trust that the universe is moving us in the correct direction, that there are no mistakes in what it is that's happening or why it is a certain thing is being presented to us in the moment. So today, five healing, by the way, in the Mayan calendar, this was Ish, I-X, Ish. It was the jaguar. So we have the sacred jaguar, shapeshifter, priest energy, the very powerful connection of the human energy to the spirit energy. So pretty cool. All right, I'm going to pull us some cards for the week. I'm going to first pull an animal card for the week and give us an idea of what we can model our energies after this first crazy week of Mars in Capricorn and Mercury in retrograde, the sun into Pisces, and all that fun stuff, right? Remember too that Mars rules the ego, and as the sun rules the personality, so personality and ego are quite up to us today, or this week as well. I pulled out Groundhog Spirit. I thought we had him sometime last week, or maybe somebody got that card. Groundhog Spirit says, time to let go. Card number 31, which is a four. And four is the expression of limitation and structure and form. Very Capricorn feel to it. So Groundhog Spirit, let's take a quick read of that card. 31. Okay, and it was right side up. So the Oracle's message says, endings lead to beginnings and death is a part of life. So Groundhog Spirit is here to let you know that it is time to accept the natural ending of something that is no longer serving you. We love to hold on to what is familiar, but the new needs space to arrive so growth can occur. When Groundhog Spirit appears, it is a sign there is something in your present situation that you need to let go of so that something new can be born. Something that will be far better serve you now. When the groundhog sees his shadow, he retreats to his den. So too might you yearn for a little more time to say goodbye and transition into the new. However, change is coming and it is good, so let go of your resistance. Spring brings many blessings and what must die will always be reborn in a new form that will be right for you. Life requires change and detachment. Say farewell to whatever once served you and get ready for something amazing to take its place. Spirit is already sending it your way. That is great. That is a great card for us. That's so five healing energy that starts our work week. That is perfect for Mars in Capricorn. Love it. Now, one more card. I'm going to draw the Wisdom of the Oracle. By the way, both of these decks by Colette Baron Reed, and they're for sale on Amazon, or I believe even on her website, you can get these decks, and they're the ones that I prefer to use. Wow, a card already jumped out. Interesting card. Number six, not for you. See a picture of a fortune cookie sitting there. And not for you. Let's see what that one means for us. Literally, that just flipped out of the deck at me. Oh, so six, there we go. The essential meaning of this card is a clear knowing that something is being denied you. Rejection is God's protection. And the message says there are times when it appears that no matter how deeply you desire something, no matter how hard you work at something, the result you seek always seems to elude you. It's as if you don't really get to be in the game and you feel you're just watching from the sidelines. The appearance of this card indicates that you are not going to attain what you want right now, that indeed your dreams for that exact thing will not be fulfilled. The word to watch here is the exact thing, right? This is a time to radically accept that not everything is available to you when you want it. Take heart, for there are benevolent forces who desire the best for you and have a much clearer idea of what is for your highest good. Rejection is God's protection. Something much better that will make you truly happy is on its way. Trust this. I think that reflects Mercury in retrograde. That's slowing down the process of our getting to where we want to be. So protection against striking out in a direction that is not the correct direction, perhaps. So even though that doesn't sound like a very good card, I think it actually shows us some protection. All right, going back to Facebook before I take my leave of you this morning. Jacqueline says the 18th, my Mars is square to the moon. I think that is a great day to meditate. I think so too. Wow, that week looking at the calendar you gave me, I have lots of work on the 8th house. Transformation, right? Transformation. Things are moving. Remember too that the 8th house is also the house of the legacy that we are working on leaving behind. That legacy may be your children. It could be a project. It could be your work. It could be anything. But the 8th house brings that more into focus for us and what we need to do to more effectively connect with that energy of transformation. It is a death and rebirth place in the chart, not a literal death, although sometimes we can find a transiting planet through that house can bring us to having to deal with people's inheritances or other people's resources, handling of other people's, final wishes, etc. It's typically not the place where we would actually see a death happen. So take heart. 8th house transits are scary, but it's only because we have this thing about death. Okay. Anything else? Nothing I see out there. If you have any questions, of course, you know where you can post those for me. What else is going on this week with me? I think that's it. Next week, I'll be on Angel Heart Radio, looking ahead at March for what we can expect while the transits change. We have Saturn moving into Aquarius for March. We have Mars that'll move into Aquarius in March. So that will be kind of the look ahead that I'll be taking next week. For now, that's it for me. We'll see you guys all tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful start to your week. Bye for now.